This is this week is Foster and Kinship Carer Week. A terrific organisation. A couple of the ladies, the foster carer from Centre Care, Elisa Carey is on the line, and Sue Barr is the executive director of the Out of Home Care for the Department of Child Protection. Ladies, good afternoon. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Tony.
Sue, tell us about this. You're the executive director of the Out of Care for the Department of Child Education. Tell us about this this Foster and Kinship Carer Week. What's it all about?
Yes, absolutely, Tony. Look, it's a really lovely week where we have the opportunity to acknowledge the amazing commitment and care that foster and kinship carers provide to children in South Australia that need a loving and safe, secure environment because they may not be able to live safely within their own family. It's also an opportunity to let people know about what kinship care and foster care is, and there may be some interest in actually taking on a carer role for these children and young people.
Okay, so tell us, Sue, exactly what is this program all about?
So foster care, Tony, is needed when children and young people, through no fault of their own, just can't live with their own parents or families.
Yeah.
And so, look, it may be as simple as a short-term parental illness, but for others it might be due to quite serious abuse and neglect. So as you can imagine, care might be required for an emergency basis, maybe for 1 to 2 nights, or sometimes it might be up to several months or even for the long term until the child turns 18. And all of those children need a really safe and stable environment with committed people who are in a position to care for them.
In the information you've sent me, I was staggered to believe there are 3,500 kids in exactly this sort of situation at the moment, needing to be looked after by foster carers and all the rest of it. Elise, there must be a lot of challenges, though, in being a foster carer. What are some of the things that readily come to mind?
Yeah, sure. There are quite a few different challenges that we face on a daily basis. I think initially, when a child comes into your care, there's just that period of adjustment. You're getting to know them, they're getting to know you. They might have a lot of challenging behaviours that come along with that. And they have to slot into your family. They have to feel the connection there. They have to feel safe. It's just all about developing that relationship and a secure attachment where they can then start to, you know, become the happy little children that they really should be. So,
Elisa, yeah. I would imagine one of the initial problems would be balancing looking after these kids and kids, your own kids in your own family.
Yeah, definitely. We've got quite young children of our own, 6 and 4.
Oh, okay, so you're part of this fostering program, Elise, yeah?
That's right, yeah. So I'm a short-term full-time specialist carer, bit of a mouthful there.
Okay.
But there's lots of different facets in the foster care world. When we first started to do this, we had to have that sit down with the children and let them know there's going to be this other little person coming in who needs our love and care, and it's going to be part of our family for that sort of short term, however long it may be. And there might be those, you know, challenging behaviours that come along with it, but we're going to love them and show them that they're part of the family and, just help them in any way that we can.
So, Elise, you've got a 6 and a 4-year-old. I mean, they're lovely ages. They're vulnerable ages. How have your two adjusted to all of a sudden there's another little... How old is the youngster you're looking after at the moment?
Yeah, we're approved for the age range of 0 to 3, so...
Right.
They always like them to be
similar ages, sort of thing.
Years younger than what your youngest is. So we often have little infants and toddlers in our household.
Oh, gee.
It is hard. I think the hardest thing is just settling. You know, there's another person that needs love and attention, and so a little bit of that gets taken away from the other two. And as long as everyone's feeling, you know, the same amount of love and attention, that's just what that settling in period really is. It's does take a while, and it is, it can be challenging for sure.
Oh, but, challenging.
We get there in the end.
I reckon it'd be challenging. God, that's an understatement. Sue, how do you qualify to become a foster carer, a foster parent? What do you call them, a foster carer?
That's correct, yeah, foster carer. There's also, you'd note that the week also acknowledges kinship carers. The difference between the two is that kinship carers are people that care for children who are already related to them, who may have a relationship with a child, their family or community, but are not able to live with their direct birth family. Foster carers, however, are carers that are really putting up their hand and saying that they would like to care for a young person who's in need of that environment. And probably, you know, one of the first things to do is to have a think about the household, have a think about your own family, as Elisa's talked about, see if that you already have children in the household and whether that may impact on them in any way. So work through it as a family. But foster families, just like all families, come in all shapes and sizes and represent a really good cross-section of society. So so foster carers aren't determined by gender, race, religion, relationship status, etc. So anyone who's interested in caring contact either there's a website which I can give the details now or a bit later, Tony, and there's a 1300 number as well to just get some general information. And then from there are a number of support agencies in the non-government sector that support carers in fulfilling this role. So depending upon what suits the household, you may be more interested in providing respite care, which might be just one day a week, or you might be interested in providing really long-term ongoing care. So different agencies provide different supports depending upon the type of care.
It's 19 minutes to two. If you've got a question you'd like to book to either of the ladies, Elisa or Sue, by all means give us a ring on 8223 0000. That interactive telephone number of ours. I don't want to be crass about it, but what sort of support do you receive from the government or centre care, Elise?
Yeah, sure. The agency Centre Care, and we have a dedicated support worker that's there for us business hours. They do fortnightly visits with us, and provide the amount of support, whether it be just somebody to vent to, somebody to ask for advice, somebody to ask for resources, anything you can think of, you give them a call, they'll be there for you. And we also have a 24/7 support line. So even after hours, if there's anything that's going on, there's always somebody that can be reached. Centrecare offer a great range of training. So while children don't come with a handbook, Centrecare provides the training needed to give you those sorts of ideas, the processes, the strategies to be able to deal with some of these children with those really challenging behaviours. Anything from just the infant safety training right through to therapeutic crisis intervention. So it's absolutely fantastic. And also just being in an agency where you can connect to other carers. You're there with like-minded people that can offer you support. You
All
can
right.
jump on the phone to one of those other carers who know exactly what you're going through. I think that's invaluable, really.
We're talking about this is Foster and Kinship Carer Week, and there's about 3,500 kids at the moment here in South Australia. Sue, before you take on a youngster, do you actually get to meet the kid, the child, and have an interview? Not so much an interview, but a talk with them, just to see if there's a rapport there.
It's a bit of a combination, Tony. So sometimes a child, if a child's requiring emergency care placement, then there's not that opportunity, obviously. The child needs somewhere safe to sleep that night.
Right.
But when a child's replaced in foster care longer term, every effort is made to find a placement that maintains local ties with that child's school, their friends, and a match between what that household looks like and the profile of the child. So that's done as a real team effort with the department, the support agency, and we provide some profile information of the child, and the carer provides some information about what their household looks like, and that's passed on to the child for them to understand. It might include photos and information about the pets that they might have and other children in the household, and photos of the backyard, just so that there's a sort of an orientation of what that potential placement might look like.
Sue from Maxine sends us an email. She said, enjoying the discussion with the ladies. a lot of things I didn't realise. Maxine says, do you need to be in a partnership with a husband or a partner to actually qualify or indeed apply to become a foster carer?
Yes, good question. And no, absolutely not.
Oh, no.
So
right.
You can be single, you can be 20, you can be 65, you can be living in all parts of the state. And so registrations of interest are taken from everybody who primarily is wanting the best outcomes for young people that may have come from traumatic backgrounds. Then from there, if you apply, then there's an assessment and training process that you undertake just to ensure that actually what you're interested in is in fact what you think it's about and that you can accommodate. And there's an assessment of things like your household to make sure that there's a bedroom for the child that might be placed. Safety issues are looked at and all those sorts of factors are considered, but no, there's no restriction on age or what your makeup of the household looks like.
All right. Along the similar lines, from a Coralie, she said, are things like ethnicity and religion and income taken into account if you wanted to apply to become a carer of some kind?
So once again, there's no restrictions on anything like that. But what I would like to say is as part of supporting carers, the Department for Child Protection does provide a carer payment. It's paid automatically to that approved foster carer, and it's not considered as a wage or salary. So it's a reimbursement for the cost of caring for the child, really designed to help cover the day-to-day costs. And so, therefore, on that basis, it's not classed as income and doesn't need to be included in your tax returns. In terms of, you can still obviously work, and many people, foster carers, work full-time and have a household that allows for just having another child in their family, just like you would in a normal home.
Ladies, back in a moment or so. If you've got a question for either Sue or for Lisa, by all means give us a ring, 8223 0000, that interactive number of ours. Monday afternoons here with Pilko. It's 13 minutes to 2 now.
SA footy legend Graham Corns talks sport with Rowie and Bix. Mondays from 5. Thanks to Adelaide Tools. Big job, small job, any job. See Adelaide Tools and get it done.
The St John Christmas Home Lottery is bigger than ever. With 4 amazing homes and 30,000 prizes, there's a 1 in 5 chance of winning a prize. The grand prize package includes a Samuel James mansion, a marina front holiday home, a Range Rover, a boat, and $250,000 cash. Forget early birds, there's also 12 weekly major prize draws. Buy your ticket before midnight Sunday to be in the draw to win a Hindmarsh Island holiday home next week. Visit stjohnlottery.com.au to buy your ticket today. Lottery licence number M13894.
for.
It's incredible. Over 50% of tickets in the Hospital Research Foundation Home Lottery have already been sold and they won't last long. Don't miss your chance at the triple treat. Two fully furnished grand prize homes are up for grabs. Plus, your tickets stay in the draw for the $1 million early bird prize. With over 15,000 prizes, your chances of winning a prize are 1 in 15. Order your tickets now. Visit homelottery.com.au. Proceeds improve the lives of every South Australian. Licence 13881.
It's just on 11 minutes to 2. Jim's antennas have been doing an incredible job all over the state. Helping people who are perhaps uni students, or perhaps you've been schooling the kids at home and all the rest of it, and you need an internet strength signal at home. Jim's antennas, they've proved to be a lifesaver for parents when there was no option but to homeschool the kids or perhaps keep them entertained, and fixing things like a poor television reception and ensuring smooth access to streaming services the likes of Netflix and Stan and Disney and Spotify and all of the others. But what hasn't changed in what's been a world of change, as we all know, is that Jim's antennas are always standing by and ready to help you connect, keep you connected to the world. Whether it's fixing poor television reception, that can be so frustrating. Perhaps things like additional data points, or extending the reach of your router so that every room in the house is getting a good, strong Wi-Fi signal. Jim's antennas have got strict hygiene protocols to keep you safe, and they've been doing it for years and years and years. So all of a sudden, if you've got poor television reception, so frustrating, and perhaps you're not getting smooth access to the streaming services that are available, or poor television reception, and perhaps the Wi-Fi signal not as strong as you'd like it to be, or not as consistent or reliable as you'd like it to be, get in touch with the people at Jim's Antennas. Their telephone number is 131546. Jim's Antennas, been around forever, good at what they do, real good at what they do, or visit online, jimsantennas.com.au.
When people walk through the doors at Pals, the first thing they say is wow. Not only because of the size and the selection, but also because of the team. Sam and Jamie have tasted every drop. They and their team can recommend a whiskey that's just as good as that hard-to-find Japanese one, if they don't have it, that is. Or a beautiful red that's reminiscent of that outstanding cellar door you once travelled so far to visit. Parafield Airport Liquor Store. Pals. Next to Roulette's Tavern, Kings Road, Parafield.
Win a 12 grand OTR Super Sprint VIP experience for you and three friends. Get VIP access, a celebrity chef dinner, helicopter ride and much more. To enter, scan your OTR app every time you spend $15 in store. T's and C's apply. End September 17th.
Express your style and personality and experience the performance of the all-new MG3 Auto at New Spot Motors. This compact hatchback comes with Auto as standard and European styling. And for under 17K, drive away. It's MG Fun Motoring for Life at New Spot Motors, Hampstead Gardens and Salisbury Park. Book your MG3 Auto test drive today. And remember, all MGs come with 7-year warranty. New Spot Motors for MG, Hampstead Gardens and Salisbury Park. LVD 1743.
Doctors are consistently ranked among Australia's most trusted professionals. In this time of COVID, listening to doctors' advice has really paid off, especially here in South Australia. We thank you for your faith and ask you to keep listening. Take care, stay safe, and we'll be here in your public hospitals doing the best we can for the South Australian community.
Authorised by David Pope, President of the South Australian Salaried Medical Officers Association, Mile End, Adelaide.
Macular degeneration is Australia's leading cause of blindness. If you're over 50, have an eye test and macular check. Early detection is vital. You can have the very early signs without even knowing. Information, guidance and support is only a phone call away. Call the Macular Disease Foundation on 1-800-111-709 for a free macular degeneration information kit.
Scraped your caravan? Walker Crash Repairs, an RAA approved caravan crash repairer. This is Tony Pilkington.
It's just on 7 minutes to two. This is Foster and Kinship Carers Week throughout South Australia, and it's an opportunity of celebrating the existing dedicated carers who provide unwavering support to youngsters and young people in need of care. We're talking to Elisa Carey, a foster carer with Centrecare, and Sue Barr is the Executive Director of the Out of Care for the Department of Child Protection. Ladies, is from Justine. Question. She said, I'm single, have no children. Could I therefore qualify to be a foster carer? Sue?
Yes, absolutely, Tony. So as I mentioned earlier, there's no restrictions placed on anyone in relation to your marital status or age, etc. It's more about having the right qualities to be able to provide a safe and stable home to a child in need of care. So the assessment would be about the really about some of the competencies that we'd be looking for of carers. So looking at things like your primary motivation of caring, what your resilience might be, because some of these young people have come from quite, you know, traumatic backgrounds. And so, as I think Elisa mentioned too, that can be emotionally difficult from time to time to deal with. And also looking at other competencies such as ability to, or some level of understanding of trauma-based behaviour and ability to manage behaviours and work as part of a broader care team so that you get the maximum support.
Right. Okay.
So, and obviously there's training is provided as part of those competencies that have been assessed.
There's obviously enormous backup available, virtually the drop of a hat. Elisa, this is a question from Ray, a lady. She said, is there a time limit as to how long you have the youngsters for, or is that determined as the program or as the fostering continues?
Yeah, I think Sue mentioned before, depending on what kind of foster, care you're providing, if you're an emergency carer, it may just be for a night or a couple of nights. Myself, as a short-term specialist carer, you generally see anywhere from maybe 6 months to a year. And a long-term carer is until the child is 18 years of age.
All right, okay, right. Now, this is important. Sue, for more information and just to sound out the possibility, I suppose, of becoming a foster carer and what's involved and if you could qualify, what's the easiest way to get in touch with you? This is important.
Yeah, absolutely. So to make that decision to see if foster care is something that is for you, a really good starting point is to go to a website that is completely dedicated to foster care.
Yeah.
So that is www.fostercare.sa.gov.au.
Yeah, okay. If somebody wanted to actually get a hold of you on the telephone and have just a conversation, face-to-face, so to speak, how could they do that?
Yeah, we've got a telephone number, which is 1-300-2367-837. And that phone is staffed by staff that have got really good knowledge about all of the different foster care support agencies. And would be able to provide information packs sent out to people's homes, and would also help any callers for registering for a particular information session, depending upon their local area. So they can match which agency might be most suited to those people. So that would be the best number to call.
Ladies, I love the work you do. Good luck with the program this week. And I said, if you want to go online, it's simply www.fostercare.sa.gov.au. And then if you wanted to give you a ring, they can do that too. Elisa and Sue, thanks for the time this afternoon. Congratulations on the work you do and continued good luck and success. And I said, at this stage of the game, we certainly need more people to do the work that you're doing. Thanks for your time. Enjoy talking to you.
Thanks, Tony.
Thanks
very much.
Yeah, bye-bye. So that email address again, that's probably the easiest way, fostercare.sa.gov.au, and just find out more about it. And this is Foster and Kinship Care Week, Carer Week here in South Australia, and there's about 3,500 kids in care at the moment, but there's probably a whole lot more that need your love and support. Do you think it